Just a quick story. I always appreciated the work of the Gideons. In 2007, I was on my way to Nepal for teaching, and ended up with a couple of Gideons in the seat beside my son-in-law and I, and they were talking a little bit, and we soon realized they were in the work of the Lord as well, and we talked with them a bit. A dentist from Toledo, and I forget where the other man was from, were on their way to Kathmandu, Nepal, the capital, to set up 10 new Gideon camps each. And I've never been able to talk with them again and find out if they accomplished their goal, but I do know that's a needy place for the gospel, and the gospel is really spreading in the country of Nepal. So I've always appreciated the work of the Gideons, and thank you, Dale, for coming and sharing with us this morning. I want to welcome each of you here. Our theme for this year is working together as God's people. And I was looking into the scriptures, and this scripture came to my mind, caught my attention. And I realized that if you and I are going to work properly together, we are going to have to wear the proper clothing. But it's not something you buy at Walmart or something that you even manufacture yourself. It's something that God calls us to, and it's something very important. In our Sunday school lesson this morning, Danny asked us what kind of acceptable sins that we might have. And one of them that he mentioned was pride. Interesting. How many humble people do we have here this morning? Anybody humble enough to admit that you're humble? You know, you don't have to look very long into the Word of God to realize that this is a human problem. It's not a problem that's limited to race or to time era or any other limitation. It's a problem that exists within the human heart across time, across the nations, wherever people exist. And so God comes to us through Peter, and he says likewise in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 and 6, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Now, I purposely put that guy, that knight up there with his armor, because I wanted us to think a little bit. If we look at that guy, do we think of humility? Probably not. We're thinking of somebody that's out there, they're out there fighting to win and to make a name for themselves and so on. So that might not be exactly the clothing that he's talking about. But there is a sense that that does speak to us. And that is, when we are properly clothed with humility, it covers us. It affects every aspect of our lives. And so it's something that we're needing to look at. And he tells us why. Why is it so important for us to be clothed with humility? Because God resists the proud. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like the thought of God resisting me. I mean, you remember Balaam? He tried to keep going when God was resisting. Remember, he was riding his donkey and an angel stopped the donkey, and Balaam beat his donkey and cursed his donkey, and the donkey said, the donkey literally said, "I've done well for you. What are you doing this to me for?" And Balaam's eyes were open, and he saw that an angel was withstanding him, and he said, "Whoa, this is too scary for me. I'm sorry, God. What? Ooh. And God said, I almost took your life. I'm resisting. Why? Balaam was proud. So I don't push against him. Okay? Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. If you go back through the Old Testament, you'll notice that often an expression of humility was falling on your face to the ground. That was an expression, a way that people expressed humility. Now let's just look at these guys here a little bit. Which one of these guys is expressing humility? There's one up there, he's a little guy. He must be humble, right? He's looking at the other guy. Oh, you think you're the man. What's his problem? Pride, right? He wants to be the man. Here's this other guy, everything he says, I, me, my, you know, all he can talk is about himself. But over here's a guy, he's bigger than the little guy, but he says, I learned so much from you. Huh, which one looks like me? Where do I fit in this picture? Now, let's just think a little bit. What is humility? I like interactions. Visitors, you're welcome to join in too. What is humility? Or what isn't it?
Modesty.
Okay. Okay, considering the other person more than yourself. Anybody else?
It's not selfish.
Okay, it's not selfish. So those are some things about humility. How do I get humility? He says, be clothed with it. Now, if we want to be clothed with something, we either make it or we buy it, right? We get it somehow and we put it on. He says, God says, I want you to be clothed with humility. I want you to put this on. So how do we get it? We can't buy it. I can't get it from you. You know, if you've got your garment of humility that you're wearing, I can't take yours and put it on me. I have to have my own. So how do we get it? How could I lose it? If you've got humility, does that mean that you have it for the rest of your life? Once you've got it, you've got it. Well, some of you are shaking your heads. No. No. Humility is something that we have to continually choose to put on. Now, what's the difference between having humility and being humiliated?
One, you put yourself in your place, and the other one, someone puts you.
Oh. Ooh, ouch. Yeah, usually if we get humiliated, it's because our pride got us in trouble, right? And if we have humility, then we're able to take it. Because our pride wasn't pushing back, okay? What's the main sound of humility? You. What's the main sound of pride? I. A lot of difference, isn't there? What do I gain through humility?
God says He will lift us up.
Okay. We gain God's blessing. We gain God's favor. What do I lose or what do I get when I have pride? Okay, we get resisted by God, don't we? We put ourselves into an isolated position, and so on. So there's a number of things that we want to think about here. It was interesting when I opened my computer to start working on my notes for this. Spurgeon's morning and evening devotional yesterday was this. The gleaner, he's talking about Ruth, but he has some points and it fit right in. The gleaner stoops for all she finds, and so must I. High spirits criticize and object, but lowly minds glean and receive benefit. A humble heart is a great help toward profitably hearing the gospel. The engrafted soul-saving word is not received except with meekness. A stiff back makes a bad gleaner. I thought that was a key phrase in this. You know, back in the old days, they had to bend over and glean, pick up what was dropped by the reapers. He says, a stiff back makes a bad gleaner. Down, Master Pride, thou art a vile robber. Not to be endured for a moment. I thought that was it fit so well with what I wanted to say. And I thought, how that fits into wearing the garment of humility. If I wear the garment of humility, I'm able to glean. I'm able to learn. I'm able to grow. I'm able to profit. If I don't have that garment on and my back is stiff, I don't get those benefits. Now, in the Old Testament, the word humility had the idea of little or small. Had the idea of being cast down, of being bending the knee or being subdued. I had to think about some things that happened back in the Old Testament. You remember when Saul was chosen to be king? Back in 1 Samuel 15, the Lord said, Saul, when you were chosen to be king, you were little in your own sight. How do I look to myself? You know, it's interesting. I mentioned Nepal. And it's interesting, in a number of these countries, one of the ideas that they have, we don't say it this way, but they put it right out in front. They want to be the big man. The big man. Well, we want to be the big man too, but we got a better way to say it, so it's kind of sounds good and covers over. But Saul was little in his own sight. While he was little in his own sight, God exalted him, right? What happened when Saul was filled with pride? What happened? God resisted him. All of a sudden, Saul was not experiencing God's blessing. He wasn't being raised up. He was being taken down. He was big in his own eyes, and God had to make him little. While he was little in his own eyes, God could make him big. There's a real lesson there for us. The moon. I don't know if you ever thought about this. This just kind of struck me when I was looking at this. God said He made the lesser light to rule the night. Interesting. It's a picture of humility. The moon is a picture of humility. It's the lesser light, but it rules the night. When we are lesser in our eyes, when we become the little man, then God can raise us up and God can put us in a place of ruling. When Nathan came to David there in 2 Samuel 12:3, and he was telling him this story, David had sinned with Bathsheba, and God told Nathan to confront David. And David came to Nathan, and as he told him this story, he said there was a household that had a guest, the king had a guest come. But there was a household under the king that had one little ewe lamb. And the king sent and got that lamb killed to serve his guest. What was happening? Again, God was showing David, David, you've gotten big in your own eyes. And David, oh, David got angry. Very angry. He said, this cannot happen in my kingdom. Whoever did this is going to die. Nathan said, you. You're the one. This is basically what he said. David, when you were little in your own eyes and you followed the Lord, God called you and God blessed you. But when you started walking on your own, God started resisting. And David repented and found grace and went on with the Lord, thankfully. But it's just interesting. This idea of humility is pictured in that one little ewe lamb. Joseph to Pharaoh, back there in Genesis chapter 41, verse 16. You remember Joseph was given by God the ability to interpret dreams. Now, what often happens when God gives us a gift or an ability? What often happens with us?
We take the credit,
don't we? Oh, you can do that? Yeah, I can do that. No, not Joseph. Joseph said, it's not in me. I can't interpret dreams. If God takes His hand away, there's nothing left. It's not in me. It's God. And so Joseph gave all the credit to God. Joseph was the little guy. He wasn't the big guy standing before Pharaoh saying, yeah, I can. These magicians and all these guys can't do this, but I can do this, Pharaoh. I've got this one. No. Joseph said, it's not in me. David went on in his life. This had happened before here in this instance, but later on, David said this. And in fact, three occasions he said this. There in 1 Samuel 18:18 is one of them. This is, who am I? Who am I? My family is of the least of the tribes. My father's house is the least in his tribe. Why would God call me? Well, why would God call it? It's because of that, right? That's what God told Israel. I didn't call you because you were so great. You were such a mighty nation because you had all together. I called you because you were helpless. You were little. You were unable on your own to do this. I called you for that purpose so that I could be exalted. So that you would make me look great. That's what humility is about. Now, let's go to the New Testament. In the New Testament, the word humility is translated as abase, or bring low, or humble. So, let's just look at some scriptures from there. To us, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 4, He said, unless you become as a little child. Now, what was He talking about? Unless you become as a little child. Was He saying you should be childish? No. What He was saying was, you need to be the little man, not the big man. You need to be the little guy. Unless you become like that, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. He talked about in prayer, and this is Luke 18, verse 14, where He's talking about the publican and the sinner that came to pray. And He says there, this person is one that humbled himself. Now, which one was the one that humbled himself? The sinner. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What did the publican say? What kind of phrases, what kind of terms did he use? I thank you, God, that I. What does it tell us about his prayer in that scripture? You remember? He prayed with himself. Oh, wow. You like to pray to yourself? You like to try to give answers to yourself? Doesn't work very good, does it? He prayed thus with himself. Why? God was, you know, it was like God put his hand down there and his prayers just bounced right back to the ground. Boom, boom, boom. Prayers were nothing. Things kept happening though, didn't they? His prayers just, you know, just bounced off. God was resisting. The sinner said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Was his prayer heard? Absolutely. That prayer went right to the heart of God because he humbled himself. Interesting. James tells us, humble yourselves. Draw near to God. James 4:10. You know what? Unless we humble ourselves, we can't draw near to God. He'll resist us. He won't let us come near. Until we've humbled ourselves. In Philippians chapter 2, it talks a lot about Jesus. And it says there in verse 7 that he made himself of no reputation. In other words, he was abasing himself. He was bringing himself very low. Now, what did Jesus, as the Son of God, have the right to? Everything. He was the Creator, so he had the right to it all. But he made himself, he didn't walk around saying, I'm the Creator, I'm the one that said this, I'm the one that did this. No. He humbled himself. He made himself of no reputation. Verse 8 again, he humbled himself. Jesus did that. There we go. Paul in Philippians also says, I know how to be abased. I know what it is. I know how to be brought to the bottom, to the lowest point. I know that. I've experienced that. It's okay. It's all right. I don't have to be the big man. You remember what the disciples argued about more than anything else in their discussions amongst themselves? Who is going to be the greatest, or who is the greatest? Paul said, I know how to be abased. I'm not looking to be the greatest. So much there for us to think about. What are some practical applications of this for us in working together as God's people? Humility and pride are at total opposite ends. They aren't working together. They never will. In fact, Proverbs tells us, 13:10, only by pride cometh contention. Only. It doesn't say sometimes by pride contention comes. It says only. The only way that there's contention is if there's pride. But it's always the other guy that has the pride that's causing the contention, right? It's not my pride, it's your pride. That's where the contention comes from. Well, wait a minute. It takes two, right? For there to be contention, there has to be two. So when there's contention, there's pride. And that goes back to what Danny mentioned this morning, that an acceptable sin among us is a sin of pride. We can be contentious, and we're just being strong. We're just standing for the truth. We're just doing whatever. So there's some real practical stuff here for us. We need to be clothed with humility. And if the Spirit speaks to you this morning and says there's pride in your heart, then we need to repent and ask the Lord to cleanse our heart so that we can be clothed with humility from Him. Humility is a matter of choice, not a matter of... It's not like I'm walking along and I just happen to walk right past here and, oh man, I just got covered with humility. No. That's not how it works. Humility is something that we choose to put on. We put off pride. We repent of it. We turn it to God. We ask for His cleansing from that. And we put on humility that He gives to us. We become like Christ. We seek the mind of Christ. It's a matter of subjection. Where do we fit in? And this, I think this is a key point. There's a story that Jesus told about what was going to happen in the future, but it also related to the past. And it was a story about who was going to be in charge. He gave this story about the vineyard. And the owner of the vineyard sent his son to take charge of the vineyard. And the guys that were working the vineyard said, "We're not going to have this guy be in charge of us. No. We will not be subject to this man. We will not be his subjects." And they killed him. Now Jesus told the story to the Jews because the rulers of the Jews had actually taken that position and were going to take that position. They refused the one that God had sent to be over them. Be careful. Be careful that you don't refuse the one that God has set over you. And that can apply in a thousand different ways. Just be careful. Because when we refuse to be subject to the one that God has placed over us, whether it's our president, whether it's our parents, whether it's our church leaders, whatever that might be, when we refuse to be subject, we put ourselves in a place where we experience the resisting hand of God rather than the exalting hand. Humility has to do with seeking God's will, not my own. Remember when I talked about Lucifer? I back there in Isaiah. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. He was seeking his own will. His purposes were his own. When you and I seek the will of God and God's plan for our life, then God can exalt us. Then God can bless it. God can use that. When we're seeking our own will, God has to resist it. Humility glorifies God. Who on earth glorified God more than anyone else? Jesus. What was His purpose while He was here? Two things. to do the Father's will and to glorify His Father. He said, Father, I have glorified You and You have glorified Me. So when we're humble, our desire is to glorify God. And when that's our desire, then God can glorify us and use us for blessing. Humility affects relationships. Pride affects relationships. You know, who's the greatest? Who's going to, hey, I paid for that. I get to choose what color it's going to be. I did this. Okay. Really? Is that how we operate? Is that where we're going? It affects relationships. What might be accomplished if we all wore the garment of humility? How much might be done? How much might God be glorified? And how much might the kingdom of God grow in our day if we all put on the garment of humility? Let's stand together for prayer. Our Father, we thank You again for Your Word. We thank You that it's being given out throughout our world, and we pray Your blessing upon the work of the Gideons, Lord, as they distribute Your Word, and many other organizations as well, dear Father, that are doing the same. Lord, I just pray, You've spoken to us through Your Word this morning. You've given us a very clear, a very concise, a very understandable, and yet a very difficult assignment. Be clothed with humility. And Lord, I pray that in those areas of our heart where there is pride, we know none of us are exempt, but in those areas, Lord, speak to our hearts by Your Spirit. Draw us to Yourself. Help us to come to a place of repentance and turning from that pride and allowing You, Lord, to be glorified, Your will to be done in our lives. Lord, I just ask that You go with us from this place. Remind us again of what You've called us to, and help us, Lord, to be those who would lift up Your name in this earth. In our day, we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.